Thank you very much for the invitation to give a talk in this distinguished place. And there was a few choices for the talk, and after consultation with the organizers for the colloquium, I made the choice to give a rather general and elementary presentation of, you know, of the state of theory of integrable equation of one aspect. And I understand that most people here are specialists in partial differential equations, but not necessarily in the integrable equations. So I will, my, it's a super problem, of course, a full book or full scale course can be given on this subject, and I will try to do it very quickly and sketchy, but I'm be happy to be interrupted at any moment and give precise definition if required. So we can, right. So, what I intend to do, I intend to discuss what people do understand when they're under the concept of integrable partial differential equations, what people do mean, and how partial differential, integrable partial differential equations looks like, how we can classify these equations or describe, and what the variety is in general. And of course, on every specific question, I will be happy to answer. Well, that is a long story, so I will not do this introduction. I will start with ordinary differential equation, because people think that they do understand ordinary differential equation often better than partial. So what is integrability for ordinary differential equations? Suppose we have a system of n equations, ordinary differential equations, like, what is that? It's laser, yeah? No? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Right. So we have a system of ordinary differential equations. And by integrable, that means we can integrate. What people think when they integrate equations? They search for first integrals. First integrals are quantities, some functions of our variables q1, qn, and I don't include t in these variables for the definition of first integrals. And if we have n minus 1 first integrals, then the surface of and these quantities do not change in time. So if they are constants at the beginning, they remain to be constants in evolution. And the intersection of the surfaces of first integrals give us the trajectory. If we know first integrals, we know trajectory. If we now go, first integrals, of course, supposed to be functionally independent. So if we go now to new coordinates, taking first integrals as a coordinate and one remaining coordinate, we receive a very simple equation which we can integrate in quadratures. So, is it integrability or not? The question, the answer is, it's quite trivial actually, because existence of first integrals is the theorem of existence of solution. It's nothing more. So you have to add something to make the problem, you know, interesting and important. And what you have to, what people add, they request the global existence of first integrals, they request the either to be polynomial, rational, meromorphic function, C infinity. And if you impose this extra constraint, the problem becomes very, very difficult and not solved yet. But it is solved for a very, very small kind sort of equation, but not solved for, you know, in general, there is no any reasonable approach to. What? Right. I will answer your remark in just 1 second. It's the next slide. Actually, if you have you can not search for n in, you're talking about Hamiltonian system. But actually, there is more general theorem than Hamiltonian version of the Liouville theorem. And the system may have symmetries. What symmetries? Symmetries is a very general concept, and I will consider only infinitesimal symmetry. So if I have an equation and if I have a solution, if I do a very infinitesimal transformation, so F epsilon assumed to be tending to zero, and G some function, then new function satisfies the same equation, but in order epsilon square. mismatches epsilon squared. Then we say that G define as a generator of symmetry. It is the same. There are plenty of equivalent definitions. It is the same to say that this equation is compatible with this equation. So if we cross differentiate and re-express all derivatives due to this equation, we receive identity. That is the definition of symmetry. Or that is another way to say that the Lie bracket is zero. Lie bracket of these two equations is zero. Now there is the theorem that just been quoted by Walter Craig, that if you have half of integrals in involution, commuting integrals in Hamiltonian system, then it is integrable. Indeed, if you have half system integrals, you have every integral generated symmetry. You have half integrals, half symmetries. You have exactly number, exact number of things, and you can integrate in quadratures. But there is more general theorem, actually. And more general theorem says that suppose you have n equations, you have k first integrals, and n minus k minus 1 commuting symmetries, such that these first integrals are first integrals for these symmetries. Then the system can be integrated in quadratures. Yes? In quadratures, that means you can write as an integral. So you need to find solution. You need to be able to do two operations: one, to solve, to use this implicit function theorem, and second, to take some quadratures. You know, to integrate. In general, you know, you cannot do anything. But if you reduce that what, and that people can say that these systems are integrable. Another approach in ordinary differential equations is so-called Ковалевская-Пенлеве. People moved to Пенлеве. Actually, it has been devised first by Sofia Ковалевская when she discovered, you know, integrability of a rigid body. And this idea is rather analytical, and that is a source of analytical theory of differential equation. So people think that equation is good if you can describe solution in nice functions. For instance, the Riemann surface of you can move to a complex domain of variable t, and they consider the function as an analytical structure of the function. And if the Riemann surface does not depend on initial data, so the branching points do not move if you change initial data or branching or essential singularities, only poles can move, then the function is good, and that calls the Penlevé property. So one can check that if equation has no movable singularities, we say that Penlevé property is satisfied. And there is a classification of second order Penlevé equations, first order, third order Penlevé equations, so that there are plenty of work being done. Unfortunately, this approach has some weak side. It is very sensitive to change of variables. In one variable, it satisfies Penlevé property. In other variables, it does not. For instance, if you take equation y dot equals y cube, you have branching points movable depending on initial data. You do change your variables, y squared equals z, you receive Riccati equation, which has, you know, satisfied the Penlevé property. So you may fail, but that is still very, very useful and also used in partial differential equations. Now I'm moving to partial differential equations. The theory of integrability, you know, began about 64, 65, when Martin Kraskal, we see, I have color photos, but unfortunately it's difficult here to arrange color prints, with Norman Zaborsky resolved the Fermi-Pasta-Ulam paradox. And the Fermi-Pasta-Ulam paradox was the following, that they have Fermi-Pasta and Ulam at the beginning of 50s, I think 50, 51, consider on the first computer the chain of oscillators, 64 oscillators, and try to study the thermalization of this chain. What they discover numerically, that after a long period of time, the initial condition completely restored, which was absolutely unexpected. And this paradox hold till 64, 65, where Norman Zaborsky and Martin Kraskal resolve this, and they resolve in the following way. They consider a very smooth distribution of initial data, so they can approximate by a partial differential equation, which eventually, for waves going in one direction, is the Korteweg-de Vries equation. And in 67, the method of inverse scattering transform has been discovered, and the solitons and all this theory become. So this equation can be represented as a Lax pair, then you can apply inverse transform to L iterator and solve, you know, the Cauchy problem and describe this equation has infinitely many conservation laws, infinitely many symmetries. We will discuss symmetries and conservation law a moment later. The problem, of course, is how to find Lax representation. Actually, yeah, and there were some efforts in this direction. There were a series of work of Walquist and Estabrook from 73 to 76 for a given equation to find Lax pair. Unfortunately, there is no good definition of Lax pair, and so there is some work, and there is even recent progress, but work is not, there is no any, at the moment, any regular way to assign a Lax pair to a given equation. So if you have Lax pair, you can solve equation, you can find everything, integrals of motion, conservation laws, or symmetries, solitons, everything, but there is no regular way to find Lax representation. The very good efforts of Walquist and Estabrook. And now, for instance, my recent interest, and that was a second option for the talk here, I'm working now on a classification of Lax representations, and that leads to very far to infinite dimensional Lie algebras and very nice objects. But the work is still in progress, and still there is no regular way to a given equation find a Lax pair. What? So the first integrable equation, like Korteweg de Vries, yes? No. No. There are examples with different Lax pairs, yeah. There is no good definition of Lax pair. There is no good, I mean, there are some problems with definition. We can discuss it later because I don't want to concentrate on this point. It will take me too far. So the first equation being discovered numerically, like in paradox of Fermi-Pasta-Ulam, or if you run just Korteweg de Vries equation, you will see that nice objects, any initial data will split on a sequence of isolated solitons, and these solitons, very regular, nice, interact elastically. So you have a perfect picture. So if the soliton is a characteristic feature of integrable equation? The answer is not. Because let's consider a simple example, Sine-Gordon equation, very famous. And it has kinks, breezers, you know, a very hierarchy of solitons with nice interaction. You do simple change of variables. You go from u to iu and request that this new u is real. You receive hyperbolic Sine-Gordon equation. Very nice post equation, but it does not have any solitons, any localized solution, non-singular. It inherits, after this change of variables, all conservation laws, all symmetries, all nice properties. You can apply inverse scattering, but it does not have solitons. So solitons, not characteristic feature. Regular behavior, nice behavior. Well, we consider the Businesque equation, and actually, a person who's not specialist in inverse scattering, Olga Alexandra Ladyzhinska, I think it was 76 in years, or 74, 76, she made a work and she proved, without any knowledge of inverse scattering or integrability, just making a standard partial differential equation estimates, that for a particular norm of initial data, a smooth initial data will develop a collapse, a singularity in finite time. Later on, these solutions have been found analytically. But that was later. So that was predicted. So, and that is integrable equation. It has infinitely many conservation law, infinitely many symmetries, nice properties, inverse scattering. Firstly, it has been integrated by Zakharov, I think in 74. I don't remember the year. So it's not the characteristic.
In fact, I think that was
Zakharov's explanation of I know that, but to say the truth, if you do accurate continuous limit from Fermi-Pasta-Ulam, you never arrive to this equation. Because you can arrive and truncate the series, Then you can rescale all coefficients to 1, and you realize that the tail that you throw out is of the same order if you do the rescaling. So you never can recover this equation from Fermi past Coulomb. From water wave, from fluid dynamics, you can, but that's not Fermi past Coulomb. No, we can discuss, but I can that is a common mistake that people consider this equation as a continuous limit of Fermi past Coulomb. No, it is not. The elasticity of interaction of solitons is not characteristic feature. For instance, three-wave equation, also integrated by Zakharov, Manakov, and studied by David Kaup in multidimensional case, it's a very simple Hamiltonian system of equation of three equations which describe the decay or fusion of waves, demonstrate explicit solutions, integrable, you have, you know, integrals of motion, everything, but not elastic. So, and in any event, if you do numerics, you may have some good indication that equation is very good, nice, you know, have good properties, but it's not the proof. It's not mathematical statement. It may, you know, support you to work on this direction. So the other approach is a perturbation theory. So we can write in many situations in reality, we have some linear path, quadratic, cubic, etc. And we can try to find conservation laws and conservation laws is just d rho dt is a d sigma dx equals zero. We can try to find as a series in epsilon as well. And if it is zero, we have exact conservation law, but that may not be zero, maybe some of order epsilon, which is not total derivative in x at all. So we can introduce a concept of approximating and conservation law and work in this way, as well as we can introduce a concept of approximate symmetry. So the Lie bracket is not zero, but for the epsilon power n. And that gives us a way to treat system in a way of perturbation theory. And it has been explored by many people, by Piotr Kulish in St. Petersburg. Zakharov did a few works, and recently I published work with Vladimir Novikov where we put it in a symbolic way, and I will talk about that later. So that is good approach, give results, but you expect expansion, so you can work term-wise, and if you're working with polynomial, it's okay, it's a finite work. But if it's a function, the work is infinite, you can, you know, proceed step by step, but never finish. No, there are other. So there is another way, very, very physical, very useful for applications, so-called multiscaling expansion. When you derive equation like Korteweg, de Vries, nonlinear Schrodinger, what you do multiscaling. You go for long wave approximation or for envelope approximation, and from a huge variety equation, you collapse to one single equation. And there is a very good argument, which was put by Francesco Calogero. He even wrote a paper why integrable equations are so useful for applications. Why, you know, the variety of integrable equations is so tiny, it's measure zero. And you just move one coefficient and nothing works anymore. But we still have lots of equations and lots of work, lots of people use this equation. Everybody here knows about nonlinear Schrodinger equation, about Korteweg de Vries equation, Karamsov of Petriashvili, about this equation. Why they are so useful? Because you do multiscaling, you collapse to one equation. And if one equation in the whole variety, in the big variety of equations, had nice properties, these properties will be inherited. So if one equation had symmetries, these symmetries will be inherited by the limit equation. Well, it's not always the case that, you know, may happen that no integrable equation on the top, and we arrive to, you know, non-integrable situation. But that at least gives us some idea and explanation why integrable equation could be quite useful for applications. So I will illustrate for you how it works here. For instance, let's consider a nonlinear Klein-Gordon equation with just a series square, q, 4, power 5, whatever terms. And we do multi-scaling, actually two scaling, one epsilon x and one another epsilon square t. So it's our non-relativistic limit for physicists. In non-relativistic limit, you arrive to Schrödinger equation, in nonlinear situation to nonlinear Schrödinger equation, of course, if this coefficient is not zero, but that is very, very seldom. Then you can analyze the terms in epsilon square, epsilon 4, etc. And this equation is nice integrable. That term, whatever coefficients you start with, these terms carry information about integrability. And if you analyze approximate symmetry in epsilon square, you immediately find a constraint on coefficients A, B, C, D. So equation is close to integrable in epsilon square if this constraint, you know, very simple polynomial constraint on coefficients holds. And you can immediately check that for sine Gordon equation or if E, F, E minus 2F, it is true, but famous equation EF minus 1, which often in application, or sine F and plus lambda sine 2F, double sine Gordon, it does not work. You can immediately see that this constraint will violate for these two cases and will be true for the, of course, it's not, you know, the complete answer, but this constraint comes from the following. So you do expansion, and you do expand, that is the principal contribution, then you can consider the second correction, right? This equation has, for instance, symmetries or conservation law, and you try to find symmetry and conservation law for corrected equations. They exist if and only if these constraints hold in epsilon square. So I can give you a reference work or where it is, you know, given in full details, all computations. Approximate. I said approximate, that the Lie bracket is of order O epsilon 4. In epsilon square, it is true, O epsilon 4. That's what I say. So there are more advanced methods, which called symmetry approach, which really based on symmetries and conservation laws. And there are two kinds of integrable equation. One, which Francesca Calogero, you know, call C-integrable, and the example is the Burgers equation and the Kolb transformation, you know, linearize, move it to the heat equation. This equation has only one conservation law, which is U. And it is easy to show that even order equation, that is two order two, even order equation, has only low order conservation law, cannot have infinitely many. That is a simple theorem, which can be proven in one line. It's a system. NLS is a system, two equations. I will talk about system later. Right. That is a very good issue. Actually, local is a very principal issue for partial differential equations. Because if you're working with a non-local object, and if you go to multidimensional or to like Benjamin Onna equation, things like that, when the objects are non-local by, you know, from the very beginning, you have to specify non-locality in very precise terms. Otherwise, you will lose all information. For instance, if you admit D minus 1, you lose completely the concept of conservation law. Because what is a conservation law? That you differentiate function in time, and the result is a total derivative. If you admit D minus 1, then any function is a total derivative, and you lose the concept, and that makes no sense. So if you work with non-locality, you have to be very, very careful with the definitions, with algebraic definitions and analytic definitions. So that is very well defined for local conservation law. For non-local objects, we can discuss later. We can discuss later. An extension of functional fields is required, and that can be done in some cases. But the Burgers equation has infinitely many symmetries. And these symmetries can be constructed in a very simple way. You can there is so-called recursion operator, this operator. This operator is well defined on total derivatives. It's not defined in general, but if function is a total derivative in X, it is defined because we have d minus 1 here. But you can prove that applying this operator, your result will always be total derivative. So applying this operator many times, you will receive an infinite hierarchy of symmetries, and these symmetries will commute with each other and with this equation. So this equation is C integrable. These symmetries can be found in a different way. Yes? Means if you have a function f of u, u x, u n, I will often replace number of derivative by a number here, 1n. So I say the function is a total derivative in the if it is equal to d, some g of u, u x, u n minus 1 in this case. So if you can represent function in this way, it belongs to the image of d. D means d dx. D means u1 d du0 plus u2 d du1 plus etc. That's how you differentiate in x. There is a simple criteria that the function is a total derivative. And the criteria, I think it's a theorem of Gelfand, Manin, and Shubin, that the function is a total derivative plus constant if and only if the Euler operator is zero applied to this function. The variational derivative is zero. Well, it's quite... There is another class of equation, Korteweg-de Vries equation, which Francesca Calogero called S-integrable, that C from change of variables, S from S-matrix or scattering, inverse scattering method. This equation is different. It has infinitely many conservation laws and infinitely many symmetries. That is analog of one symmetry. That is one of the highest symmetry. So if we have a symmetry of equation, we have a lot of information already, because in ordinary differential equation, you can try to find solution which is invariant with respect to symmetry, so reduce the number of degrees of freedom. In partial differential equation, you can assume that invariant means that is zero. When you move in T5, you don't change anything. That is zero. So you can express fifth derivative in terms of lower derivatives. And this infinite dimensional system, you can consider u, ux, uxx as independent variables, will collapse in five-dimensional dynamical system. And that gives you exact solution. So you reduce the partial differential equation to ordinary. And solution of this ordinary gives you finite gaps or finite soliton solution, and that's been studied by Novikov, for instance, who supported you can see here. So as many symmetries you have, the same number of ansatz you can build, and that every ansatz will reduce system to a finite dimensional. So integrable equation with many symmetries contains infinitely many exact finite dimensional reductions. And one thing, very important thing, I just sketchy say that this recursion operator here, actually a very important object. It satisfies, it can be shown that it satisfies the equation that if you differentiate with respect to equation, then it is just a commutator of the Fréchet derivative of the right-hand side of equation with this operator. And the main observation of Shabbat, and he pushed this very, very far, and the whole symmetry approach based on this observation, actually, that if equation has infinitely many symmetries, or it has infinitely many conservation laws, or it can be linearized by some substitution. In all these cases, you can prove existence of a formal series which satisfies this condition. It calls formal recursion operator. And it's quite easy to study this equation, much easier than to find a particular symmetry. And the problem with symmetry is the following. Look on Kordeweg de Vries equation. It has symmetry of order 3, of order 5, but it does not have symmetry of order 4. There are gaps in symmetries. If you take Boussinesq equation, you have even wider gaps in symmetries. So if you try to find a symmetry of a given order, you may fail. And that's not because equation is bad, because you choose a wrong order of symmetry. The existence of this recursion operator does not fill these gaps. First, and second, it is invariant with respect to all changes of variables. Now, let me do the following. Now, let me just, because the time is going on, I will just show you what kind of classification problems, what kind of results people can achieve using this sort of symmetry approach. The first classification result been given by Shabbat and Zhiber in 79. I think in January at Petrovsky conference, I first saw this presentation. And they study nonlinear Klein-Gordon equations. F is any function, not polynomial, nothing, just any differentiable function. And they ask the question, list all equations which have infinitely many symmetries. And the result is a very short list of three equations. One is the Liouville equation, which everybody knows and can be integrated, explicitly. That is C-integrable equation. Second is the Sine-Gordon equation. Well, he plus, but does not matter because we can admit some shifts and, scalings, so you can always consider as a sine. And the third equation, EU minus or plus whatever, E minus 2U. The exponents are important. And that's it. And the linear equation, of course. That's it. No more integrable equations of that form. That is a complete exhaustive result. Later on in 84, they study system of UX equals P of UV and VY equals Q of UV. Also, there is some list which is longer, but and examples of more general equations are here, which are integrable but look quite sophisticated. So, talking about the description of integrable equation, we face two problems. One problem is to find equation, and another, look, we can make a change of variables, and change of variables does not change the order of equation. So we have to be very precise in classification. We have to describe the classes of equivalent equations up to point transformations, or in this case, up to contact transformations. So Sergei Svinalupov in 85 studied equations ut equals any function of u, second derivative, first derivative, x, u, and x, and actually you can add t. Result will not change. The only one place, I think here we will have function of x and t, but the rest will be the same. So, and ask the question, list all equations with higher symmetries. And of course, if you do change of variables, you preserve higher symmetries. So, should be some invariant. And the answer is the following, the theorem is the following, that up to contact transformation, which are generalization of point transformations, the classical transformations known, in a century ago. For instance, the Legendre transformation is a contact transformation. So you can admit Legendre transformation, any point transformation, anything. You can change x, the x and u receive very horrible nonlinear equation because you will never get out of this form. And up to these transformations, there are only four equations, and that is the list. One is the Burgers equation, and there are three other equations which can be reduced to Burgers equation by a substitution looking like a Kohl-Hopf, which contains U and derivatives. And no more. That's it. it's a very difficult problem. If you have a given equation, it's a difficult problem to move it to this list. It's solvable but difficult problem. It's much easier to analyze the constraints, the conditions which follows from existence of this formal recursion operator. And the first condition is the following. Suppose we have any partial differential equation of order n. N should be more than or equal than 2. Then we can construct, we can compute df dun, the highest letter, the highest derivative, and take power minus 1 over n. And that should be a density of a conservation law. If it is not so, then forget this equation. This equation does not have higher symmetries or higher conservation laws. I will give you one simple example. Let's consider equation ut. Well, that is the first order. Okay, that everybody knows that this is integrable. Let's consider ut equals u square uxx. This is one of the previous type, and everybody knows that is also integrable. Then the Hari-Dim equation, ut equals u cube uxxx. The question is, ut equals un, un. Is it integrable or not? In all cases, we can easily compute this rho minus 1 equals 1 over u. So the statement is that 1 over u should be a density of conservation law. Here, of course, it's a density. It's always a density. Here, you have to divide by u square. You have ut divided by u square equals uxx is a total derivative. It's a density of conservation law. Here, you can also check it's a density of conservation law. For n more than 3, it is not. So you immediately prove that the necessary condition of existence of higher symmetries or higher conservation law not satisfied for n equal more than 3. So this equation for n more than 3, not integrable. You can throw this equation out. From the integrable business. Let's consider Korteweg de Vries equation type. So you have an equation which depends on second derivative, first derivative, and u. And the Korteweg de Vries is of that type. So we can compute these densities of conservation laws which follows from, which are necessary conditions to have higher symmetries and or higher conservation laws. And they are expressed exactly, here F should be capital on this slide. Yes. Any function. Absolutely. No problem. Possible poles, exponents, whatever function. You have to be able to differentiate this function in typical points. Well, in isolated points, not important. What? No. Should be differentiable a few times, yeah. So if you take equation here should be f, should be either this f should be small, yes, this should be small, or this capital, whatever, that is the same f. So these quantities should be conserved densities for equation. It's easy to check. For any given equation, it's easy to check these properties if these quantities are conserved densities. But it is sufficient to know, I think, 4 of these quantities to completely classify all integrable equation of that form. And the list, complete list of integrable equations of this form is here. That is a theorem of Sokolov and Svinalupov proved in 82. So if you have equation of third order with, constant term here, the complete list up to some trivial changes of variables, which is described here, is Korteweg de Vries, modified Korteweg de Vries, then these two equations we call Calogero de Gasperis 1, Calogero de Gasperis 2, but some other people also claim the name for this equation. And the last equation is Krychewer and Novikov equation, which they found, absolutely in a different way. So no new equation been found in this way, but the important thing is that is all, no more. And no one can find any more equation of this type which are integrable, which have symmetries, which have conservation laws. Right. Okay, I can explain. Yes. There are so-called Miura transformations, which transform solutions of MKdV into solution of Korteweg-de-Vries, right? There is the Miura transformation which transform this equation to MKdV and Miura transformation which move here. So these four equations, the first four, can be linked by Miura transformation, which is not classical invertible transformation. It's not invertible transformation. It works in one direction. But there is a theory how to find this transformation, and you can find, you know, solutions of Korteweg-de-Vries having any solution of any lower equation. Then you have to solve differential equation. Yes, if you can solve, if you admit to solve differential equation, then you can work in another way, right? But if you don't want to solve a differential equation, because, you know, could be some... Yes, on the class of transformation. But what I want to say that this transformation is not classical invertible transformation like point or contact transformation. You cannot invert it in a standard way, reduced to, you know, to some implicit function theorem. You have to solve a differential equation, and that contributes some, you know, constants of integration which you have to fix. No, you have to do some work to do that. In context of inverse scattering, you can do it using the dressing of the psi function of L operator. You can invert this transformation. That works. But the last equation, the Krejci-Vernovikov equation, Krejci-Vernovikov equation is not linked to this four, and that is Novikov, and I think this picture is better than you have because here he looks better. He was really angry on this picture, very aggressive. He's smiling, you know. I can give you I have a file, you know, with a nice picture. on the paper he looks better. I can keep it. Right.
It seems like most of the physical phenomena, whenever you look for dispersive systems, you get just the first of the KV equation.
Right.
So, are there any physical systems that you know where, like, sort of the highest order behavior is more like other ones? Like the CD1, CD2, or the...
Well, not directly, but indirectly probably I can tell you. Because, you know, behind every of this equation there is an algebra. And this algebra really have sometimes more importance than equation itself, you know. So not direct application. Like if you go to fifth order equation being classified by Drinfeld, Sokolov, and Svinalupov. And there is a list, quite longish list. And there are some representative. So there is a symmetry of Korteweg-de-Vries. There is this Kaup-Kupfer-Schmidt equation, Sawada-Katera, Kaup-Kupfer-Schmidt. I don't remember the name of this equation. So there are some equations. I just want to give you some impression. And you cannot move these coefficients. If you move these coefficients, everything gone. And there is very interesting and I think very important result, maybe one of the most important during last few, maybe last decade, there was a global classification of equations. Now we're working with order 2, order 3, order 5, order 4, but we can solve problem in all orders. And that has been done by Jan Sanders, who is in Amsterdam, and Jingping Wang, who is in Brock University. And the solution, to solve this problem, they solve it, of course, not for the whole variety. They use a differential polynomial, and a homogeneous differential polynomial. And then the problem can be reduced to some number theory problem of divisibility of symmetrical polynomials of many variables. And there is a very important, powerful result of Fritz Berkus in Amsterdam. Actually, he's not in Amsterdam. He's in Holland, but not in Amsterdam. About divisibility of, and about, you know, the way how factorized, how these polynomials can be factorized. And what they proved, look, in order 3, we have only these five equations. In order 5, we have their symmetries plus some other equation. What will be in order 7? People expect more. In order 9, whatever, They can be more and more. The result is no. You take equation of order 2, 3, and 5, and their hierarchies. And that's it. No more integrable equations. In a sense, the number of hierarchies is finite. And that is a unique global classification result. Very interesting, very important result. Now we probably move to systems, because there was a question about system like nonlinear Schrodinger, etc. That problem has been solved by Misha Bat and Yemilov, actually. I don't know why his name is not here. Actually, he also contributed in a later stage of the work. And that is a longish list. I will flash it in a few seconds. Longish list. So what we request, that equation of second order, the derivative, second derivative is linear with coefficient matrix depend on U, and the determinant of this matrix is not identically zero. Then it can be easily shown, first of all, that trace of U equal trace of A is zero, otherwise no conservation laws. Second, there is a transformation. You can always transform this equation, not point transformation, a little bit not point, but you can always transform this equation in a system with a constant separand, with a constant coefficient at highest derivative. Third, that is a bit difficult job. It required, you know, almost a year for us. We prove that this right-hand side is polynomial in derivatives. Otherwise, it's not integrable if it is not polynomial. So it is not a polynomial in functions, but polynomial in derivatives. And that is the right-hand side. So you look on the equation, you look how it looks like, and if it does not fit this form, it is not integrable immediately. Examples, maybe I will show the whole list, but examples are nonlinear Schrodinger equation written in this form, or Landau and Lipschitz or Heisenberg equation, which is normally people write for for vectors on unit sphere, three component vectors like that. But in after some stereographic projections, etc., you can rewrite it in the form of this nonlinear Schrodinger type with some polynomial of power 4. Even Businetsky equation can be written in this form. If you write equation, I think, for u plus v, you will receive Businetsky equation. Any question? No? So I told you that there is a complete list. It is huge. And, of course, no transformation, I mean, no point transformation relate this equation. And even there is a bigger list, bigger class of transformation which we factorize, because, you know, we don't want to have lots of equations to impress you. We want to reduce to a minimum possible set. So A, B, C, D. Here, well, you can see equation that is nonlinear Schrodinger equation, for instance. Well, it's not very well seen, but anyway, just I will show you, because it was a few years of work, you know, to list all these equations. So that is all equation. And the problem, the statement is, that is a Businetsky kind of equation. The statement is that that's all, no more. No more integrable equation of this type. That is the last. And you see some cubic roots of unity, etc., and Lax pairs related to plateau bodies. Very, very nice, science. But well, there are systems. Well, I stop with the systems. There are many systems. Even matrix equation can be studied. Let me list a few recent results. A recent result of Heredero, Shabbat, and Sakalov, they study non-evolutionary equation. UTT equals UXXX plus any function of Q, QX, QT, QXX, and QXT. And they found a list, and list, I think, contains four equations. I bring here only one. That is nice integrable equation and very strange one. Actually, if you do a plane wave of X minus VT, you can integrate equation once, and you will receive a cubic equation, UT, some cubic polynomial in Q. And that proves that this equation never satisfy any Penn-Levere property. Even reductions never satisfy. But it is still integrable. It has infinitely many symmetries. It has one conservation law, infinitely many symmetries. It has a reduction operator, recursion operator, which generates these symmetries. You can apply it, and you can generate all the symmetries. We made some attempt recent with Vladimir Novikov and Jinping Wang to classify higher order equations, which include Businesque equation, equation of order 6, equation of order 8, and equation of order 10. So even order equations. And that is one of our examples of these integrable equations. Well, that may be not so interesting for applications, but you see that these equations, how they look like, and I am sure that in a while, this equation will found the applications. Maybe more interesting equation, non-differential, integral differential equation, like Benjamin-Onna equation, famous Benjamin-Onna equation, which is known to be integrable, so which contains the Hilbert transform. So we apply this perturbation symmetry approach that I listed here, and I have some papers which, you know, have some bits and pieces of this work. And we classify all homogeneous equations. That is the most general equation, homogeneous equation of that type. So the constants are, you know, we just add some constants, and there are some Hilbert transforms and even embedded Hilbert transforms, H of U, H of U1, etc. So, and we just the most general equation of this form, homogeneous, which you can imagine, and then you can prove the theorem. That equation of that form is integrable up to some if and only if, by some simple transformation, it can be reduced to this form. And that is complete list of Benjamin-Onna type equation with the same homogeneity as Benjamin-Onna. Maybe the last thing I want to show, I will not show many equations, but the last thing, maybe the result of Yermilov, it works also for lattice equations. Not for a partial differential, but for finite difference, if you wish, equations. So he made the classification of all equations of the form UT UN dot equal function of UN minus 1 UN UN plus 1. Any function. And ask to list all equations which have conservation laws. And the list basically reduced to this form, which contains, of course, the Volterra, modified Volterra equation, so there are many famous equations, but it is that the, you know, the value of this list, not because it contains known equation, because it's complete. No more equation of this form, up to some simple transformation, of course, can be found, which have infinitely many conservation laws. That's basically it. So I have a few pictures which not probably good. That is Shabbat, Alexei, in mountains in Pyrenees. That is Zakharov reading poems because he's a poet. Yes, they contribute a lot. These people contribute, you know, they, for instance, introduce the concept of recursion operator, Mark Ablowitz, David Kaup, Alan Newell. I did not find in my computer Harvey Seeger. I apologize. Huh? No, I do have it. And that is Francesca Kalocher, who, you know, also contribute a lot in this C and S integrable business. So, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.